President Joe Biden yesterday, along with First Lady Jill Biden, visited Buffalo, spoke with the victims' families, spoke to the media as well. And with President Joe Biden was Congressman Brian Higgins. He joins me this morning. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Congressman, before I ask you about the president, you know, we're a few days removed from Saturday's tragic terrorist attack. You have spoken with some of the victims' families. You've spoken with some in the community. How are you feeling this Wednesday morning? And what have you heard from those in the community and how they are feeling?
Well, as you know, there's a profound grief at the loss of innocent lives. 10 individuals, ages 32 through 88, killed for one reason, because, you know, primarily they were Black. And, you know, they were grandmothers and mothers, grandfathers and fathers. They were young adults. They were people of faith. There was a retired teacher, a retired police officer who heroically tried to stop the shooter but was outgunned. And the shooter had tactical gear, as you know, and also body armor. Just a tragic event. An individual from outside the area drove to Buffalo about 3 hours outside of Buffalo, obviously had planned the attack, had been in the Tops Market the day of the attack, and likely the day before and months before as well. And as you know, what's been published is a manifesto, 180 pages, which basically is the narrative of what he has done and what he had planned to do, which is vile. It's tragic. And you've got innocent lives lost, and you have a community that's broken.
And as you said, the president came yesterday to try to, you know, to tell Western New York that the nation is with the region. The nation is grieving. What your interactions with the president? What was his feelings, and what did you pick up that he had picked up from the victims' families?
Well, he's a very empathetic guy. He himself, in his personal life, has endured a lot of tragedy. The loss of a young wife, the loss of a young baby girl, two life-threatening bouts with aneurysms, the loss of a son. So, you know, he is, you know, very empathetic, and you could see it. It's genuine. From the moment he got on the plane in Washington, to the moment he got back on the plane. He didn't just speak with the families. He spent, both he and his wife, a couple of hours directly, you know, with the families. And that is, you know, a guy that, you know, obviously a very powerful guy, President of the United States, who can empathize with these people because of the tragedy that, you know, he's experienced in his life. You know, he's at his best in those kinds of moments. And I think in talking with some of the families of the victims, they felt very uplifted that the president was not only in Buffalo and his wife, the First Lady, but, you know, the time that he spent with them. I mean, this was not transactional. This was heartfelt. And it was needed. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, this is part of a long healing process. And each day brings a new set of questions, challenges, but also, you know, hopefully renewal. And we hopefully would learn something from this. And we come together as a community that is stronger and more empathetic and looking after one another.
And you know, you speak of the challenges and coming together, and those are two other things I want to talk about. First, coming together. Congressman Higgins, what have you seen as the community of Western New York coming together, and what would you like to continue to see or see that you haven't seen yet?
Sure. There's a, you know, the Buffalo Bills are going to be in the neighborhood, in the community center today to serve food to the victims, you know, so they have stepped up. There's an event at the Erie County Medical Center today regarding the victims and what we need to do to come together as a society and to reject categorically hate. There is, people coming in from the Department of Justice who are still investigating this situation. So each and every day, there is progress toward something. And my hope for our community is its progress toward a renewal, a recognition that we're all vulnerable, that we all need each other, that we are, in fact, a community. And our diversity is a strength, and it has been in Buffalo for, 150 years, and it will continue to be. But look, democracy is hard work, and citizenship is a team sport. And, we all have, we should all have the same objectives, and that is to live in a society that is equitable, that is inclusive, that provides opportunity and good social mobility. Working toward those goals is beneficial to everybody, and it's not ideological, it's commonsensical, and that's what we should all want, regardless of where we stand on the political spectrum.
And Congressman, you talk about, what's next. What would you like to see done legislation-wise? What would you, any laws you'd like to see of this? What would you like to see the next step to prevent something like this from happening again?
Well, we need a federal statute criminalizing domestic terror. We don't have it, and we need it. And that's something that everybody should embrace. And domestic terror of this nature, there is one, assault weapons. I mentioned that this individual had an assault weapon, and the retired police officer, security guard now in the store, was outgunned, but so were our police officers. And, this individual had a weapon that was more powerful than the weapons that our police officers carry. So our police should not be outgunned, because our police are in place to keep all of us safe. So there's two pieces that really need to be looked at, and minimally, background checks. The vast majority of Americans, regardless of political affiliation, support reasonable gun safety legislation. But assault weapons, as you know, are not, hunting, used for hunting. They are designed for one purpose, and that is to kill people quickly and very powerfully, as we have seen in the aftermath of the tragedy at the Tops Market on Jefferson Avenue in Buffalo on Saturday afternoon.
As we learn more and more about the shooter, are you surprised that there wasn't, that he was not on a radar, that there weren't red flags known to people throughout the state?
Yeah, I am. There are so-called red flag laws in place in 19 states, including New York. And according to police officials who I was with, for the last 4 days, there were incidences where this individual, was reasonably thought to pose an extreme danger. He wrote a paper on shootings and suicide. He allegedly threatened to take forceful action against his school last year. Those are all signs that should have been pursued. In fact, in the manifesto, he kind of mocked the system by suggesting that he had waited 45 minutes for a mental health evaluation, and the mental health evaluation itself took 15 minutes. That clearly was not enough, because it indicated early on that this individual was a danger to himself and to others. And had that been pursued more effectively, perhaps the tragic event of Saturday in Buffalo, New York, could have been avoided.
Congressman, you've spoken with those in the community. You've spoken with the victims' families. And as you said, we need to defeat racism, and we need to defeat racism in the community. What steps need to be taken to have that conversation? How do we have that conversation to start that process to defeat racism, as you said?
It is a complicated problem, but first and foremost, we have to call out white supremacy to simply victimize people because of the color of their skin is wrong. Additionally, we have to come together, the faith community, the political community, community activists. We have to see each other more clearly. We have to understand the grievances of people of color who feel, and justifiably, that they have been marginalized. And we just have to do better. You know, there are initiatives to make major financial investments in the redevelopment of Jefferson Avenue and other, you know, programs, infrastructure to promote economic development. So there's no easy response to it, but it just requires a commitment on the part of our community to engage with other parts of our community, because in the end, we are one city and we are one nation. And that is as old as our founding. And we have to always try to create a more perfect union. Perfection is elusive. The pursuit of perfection is something that we always have to strive to every single day, try to get better. As I said, democracy is hard work. Citizenship is a team sport, and everybody has to be on the field. Everybody has to communicate clearly. Everybody has to agree to the same set of goals. And I think if and when we do that, things will in fact improve.
Now, as we said, you know, come together, have those conversations. What do you think, you know, anytime something tragic happens in the political climate that we are in now, it seems like on both sides of the aisle, you have this political finger pointing. What do you think, and how do we stop that being the first thing anytime something happens? Because I see that, and I think that's the opposite of coming together. How do you see it?
Well, it is the opposite of coming together. I mean, when you have access as this individual and previous mass shooters, access to you know, social media, whose content is spewing a racist white supremacy, and encouraging, if not explicitly, implicitly, violent behavior toward marginalized groups of people. I mean, that is what's going on right now. And, you know, again, this 180-page manifesto that the shooter on Saturday posted is a clear narrative that he was radicalized on websites that seek to radicalize people like him, people that are disaffected, people that are looking for some kind of purpose, not legitimate. And this individual found it. And you can tell by the writings on you know, the barrel of his rifle and his manifesto that this individual was deluded with racist ideology and very prone to domestic violence, domestic terror. That is a threat to everybody.
Final question, Congressman Higgins, you know, speaking of that Tops on Jefferson Avenue, you know, everyone in the community, that was not only a grocery store, it was a place where the community did come together. We heard Reverend Kinzer Pointer talking about how, you know, he would go in for just a couple items and he would end up talking with people. He'd be there for an hour or so. Do you think that we will get to a point where this store can reopen, and how does that happen?
Yeah, it has to reopen. I mean, look, obviously there's going to be a period of time where, you know, things have to occur relative to the cleanup of that store, relative to a lot of things, you know, an evaluation of how do you make that supermarket safer. But yeah, that met a need, and the need is that, you know, some communities in Buffalo that are marginalized don't have, you know, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, good quality food, reasonably priced food. And that's why the supermarket was established on Jefferson Avenue. It was a food desert, as they call it. And you know, you look at some of these smaller stores, while they do serve a purpose, typically, you know, the quality of the food offering is not as healthy. The pricing is not as reasonable. So it is imperative that the Tops Market on Jefferson Avenue reopen But obviously a lot of work will go into getting it ready for a reopening, which will include, enhanced, amplified security measures to ensure that people feel safe and welcome there.
Congressman Brian Higgins, I really appreciate you joining me this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
That is Congressman Brian Higgins. He was with President Joe Biden, who came here and visited Buffalo, visited the site, visited with the families yesterday.